set up here, and I'll tell you what's going on. Our next discussion is the transition to IPTV, and we have John Brindle and Ken Christensen from Cencor. John Brindle is the senior product specialist, is a senior product specialist at Cencor, where he is responsible for the market analysis, product planning, and application support for the company's IPTV product line. He is in constant collaboration with both customers and strategic partners to meet the monitoring and analysis equipment needs of the IPTV installations that you'll find around the world. John worked for 4 years at Wyatt Media, emerging IPT and satellite technology. John has a degree in computer information management and mass communications from Buena Vista University. And our other speaker, they're going to do a tag team type thing, right, guys? Kind of a tag team. Ken Christensen. And Ken Christensen is a product managing manager at Cencor, where he directs all aspects of the company's outboard marketing operations. He oversees product marketing, brand marketing, publicity, public relations, advertising, special events, and promotions. Prior to joining Cencor, Christensen spent 19 years at Hewlett-Packard and Agilent Technologies. Ken Christensen received a bachelor's and master's degree in electrical and computer engineering from Iowa State University. And now I present to you John Brindle and Ken Christensen.
Thank you.
We're doing the wireless?
All right, great. Thanks for that introduction. It's nice to be here. We're going to start the presentation with a little introduction to IPTV and this important transition in our industry. And then John's going to dive into some of the technical aspects of this transition. Wireless here? Okay. There's been many transitions in the broadcast industry, and back in 1951, when our company founder, Herb Boden, started Cencor, he was an engineer with Admiral down in Chicago, and he decided he was going to make test and measurement instruments for TV professionals, and he started off making them for black and white TVs, and luckily, Herb had the foresight to be able to kind of envision what's happening in the future and take us through every one of the transitions that we've seen in our broadcast industry. But this transition to IPTV, I think, would have been great if Herb could have been here to see this one. Herb actually passed away about 1 year ago today. And he would have been very excited to see this one, because this transition IPTV has the potential to be one of the biggest changes that we've seen in the TV viewing experience. And that's what John and I are going to be talking about today, is this TV viewing experience. TV, after all, is an experience. Everybody remembers, where were you sitting at 9:56 Central Time on July 20th, 1969? Everybody says, yeah, I was sitting in front of that one. I know, me personally, I was sitting in front of that color TV that's up there watching the moon landing, watching Neil Armstrong step on the moon. And in every important event that you can think of, that whether it's when Reagan got shot or when the 1980 hockey team won over the Russians, we were in front of our televisions. How about January 25th, 1998? Where was everybody sitting? Come on. You were sitting at work? No, it was a Sunday. It was a Sunday. That was when my Denver Broncos beat the Green Bay Packers. Right? Everybody remembers that, right? So there's lots of different transitions that happen, and it's this experience, this being able to be tied to your television, that we as kids, I was sitting at the dinner table, and at 5:30 every night we had the CBS Evening News. Walter Cronkite was there, and we would stop talking if an important event came on. But things are changing. We don't sit in front of the TVs anymore. We get out our DVR and we record things, and our next generation is actually watching YouTube, which is essentially a proof that IPTV is going to work for this next generation. TV used to be a linear event, and now we are moving to more of an interaction between the customers and the broadcast. We will be able, with IPTV, to watch TV anywhere, anytime, on virtually any type of device. And there will be user communities set up where, if you're interested in watching what Brett Favre is doing, I'm guessing that people around here probably don't get as much information as you want because he's in New York now. But you can, through IPTV, you can sign up, or you could have potential to sign up to be part of a user community to discuss those things. And my wife would love to be able to talk about some rare breeds of dogs. And if at Westminster you could have conversations or get extra information about particular events that interest you, and the viewing experience will be targeted directly toward you as the consumer. And people are going to pay for that. There was a quote here from an NBC professional that said, when people see what IPTV can deliver, when they can change that experience, when they can watch whatever they want to watch, whenever they want, wherever they want, they're going to pay for it. And we've seen that with, like again, with Apple TV and YouTube. People want that community experience. They want to find other people with the interests like they have. They want more information about what they're talking about, what they're viewing on their televisions. But with that, there's a key word there, is that customers are going to pay for it. But when customers pay for a service, they're going to demand that there is high quality that comes along with it. If the experience isn't different, if the experience isn't different and they're not getting the value, they're going to change their use model. So there's many challenges that we have as broadcasters to match that demand for high quality IPTV. And one of those is that if we don't deliver a high quality, people will perceive the broadcast as, oh, it doesn't have the value that I paid for, and I'm not going to pay for that. The existing network isn't really built for streaming video. It's built for data. It's built for packets coming in at all different times. We have plenty of time to retransmit if we lose them. But with streaming video, if you miss a packet, then your picture is going to have blocking, and it's going to go away. And then we're adding to that problem by trying to transmit even more data with high-definition television. Along with customers wanting anything, anywhere, anytime, our advertisers are also going to be paying for us to be able to target specific people. And with IPTV, the advertisers are going to know who is watching, when they're watching, and we'll be able to send a direct message to a viewer depending on what they're watching. So if they're watching the Green Bay Packers, we can send a message to them with hats and t-shirts that say, you can buy this. And it can have your particular team built right into it. So the advertising will also be targeted. If we're not able to deliver quality video for our advertisers, they too will be unhappy with our broadcast solution. So really, we need to be able to ensure that we're going to be delivering on those expectations, both of the viewers and of the broadcasters, in order to make this business of IPTV broadcasting viable. We have to increase the quality of the service to the customers. We have to reduce the amount of customer churn. And what I mean by churn is people switching from one medium of viewing to another. We don't want them to, if they try IPTV, you don't want them to have to or they, you don't want them to switch back to a previous version or delivery method, whether it's cable or satellite or off the air. We want to be able to reduce the number of calls you have in your service centers and the amount of time that your technicians are spent out looking in the network to try to figure out where are the problems. And we have to be able to isolate the faults that you find in the systems so that there's not a lot of finger pointing between the broadcasters, the service providers, the individual in their home, where it could be some network problem even within the home. We have to be able to isolate those issues in order for this to be a viable business. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to John, who's going to talk about how do we ensure that we're delivering that quality video.
Well, as we move into an IPTV type of environment, some general considerations have to be taken into account. First off, that video moves through a network very differently than does traditional Ethernet data. When you have methods such as, you know, your internet and moving emails and files back and forth, it's a point A to point B type of delivery system. You're not concerned so much with the packet order, the time it takes to get from one point to the other, and there's handshaking that's involved to allow for retransmitting data when it doesn't get there. Video doesn't work that way. Video is such a real-time experience that if that packet doesn't make it in the proper order and isn't received within a very finite amount of time, it's essentially going to exploit the experience that the user has. They're going to see artifacts on the screen. They're going to see something visible that is going to detract from the experience. You are correct in the fact that traditionally video is delivered these days over a UDP. We do have some using another protocol, but UDP is the primary method. And so, yes, we think of it as a fire and forget type of system, where once that video has left the building, there's not much more we can do with it. Even more so, though, because of the way that IPTV works, you're oftentimes not talking about a single network. You're not talking about simply sending it from a central server directly to that user. You've got multiple paths in IP. You oftentimes have multiple networks as well. All of those things add jitter or latency into our systems. They often impact the eventual experience that the user has with the end product. And again, the next hurdle as we move into IPTV is that video can't be measured in quite the same way as we do with other Ethernet packets. Other Ethernet packets can be traced, we can resend those packets when they're not received, and we can use standard network tools such as pinging devices. We can trace route to find out how they got there. And all of those methods work when you're just simply trying to get a connection from point A to point B. However, again, when we start talking about real-time video delivery, we have to move into a slightly different way of tracking the performance of our systems. IPTV is really built on three standard pillars. These are the same types of things we do in most of our broadcast type of operations. As we start out in the operation side of things, we obviously want to see what's going on in a day-to-day type of basis. We want to know that our network is functioning. We want to know that our broadcast chain is in place. And to do that, we need to rely on analysis, both in real time and to understand how our equipment is functioning and if it is functioning within our accepted parameters, and also to have some statistics so we can come back and, as we move into IPTV, this becomes part of the reporting process that happens both from a station point of view or a broadcaster point of view, and also from the advertising point of view. We need to gather information to find out how many people were watching a particular channel or a particular service, any problems that we had, and find out how we can use that for advertising and whatnot. In IPTV, it really comes down to what do you need to measure? Well, in IPTV, there's three key points that need to be taken into consideration as we deploy these systems, and that is IP packet drops as that data moves through, if routers are misconfigured or if there's issues in the network where those packets are just simply lost, which again affects the experience. IP jitter, in other words, how many times those packets have to be handled and how long that latency is to present that video to the viewer. And then again, we also have the traditional signal loss, where we can have, whether it's a network segment is down, whether the satellite receive site is not working, all kinds of things can come into play that can actually interrupt that signal altogether. And there's a number of bodies that have been formed in the world of IPTV trying to come up with a set of standards on how this is best measured. And the most notable one comes from overseas, and it refers to two key points. Good video, as it is defined, is a maximum of 40 milliseconds peak-to-peak at the receive site. So when the set-top box has to present that video, we expect to see packets no more than 40 milliseconds apart. In the case of a viewer experience, that leads to a maximum of one drop packet or one noticeable artifact on the screen per hour. Now, in reality, those numbers are not necessarily the way that it always plays out. Not necessarily good nor bad. Those are just the numbers in which we've defined as good video. So as we start diving down a little deeper, we start looking at the two parts of the metrics that come into play that really define our own systems. And these will vary from one site to the next. I get asked a lot about delay factor and media loss rate. And we use those two numbers to come up with what is referred to in the industry as the MDI, the Media Delivery Index. And this is an industry standard way of determining the performance of a network at any given point in the system. It works very well, but there's no reference that I can go back to say, is my number good? I have to analyze that data myself within my own network to determine the performance of my system. Now, delay factor just refers to the amount of time between one packet arrival and the next packet. Typically, we measure that over a one-second interval, and we use that number to try and exploit the fact that we want to keep that to that 40 milliseconds and less. Obviously, media loss rate, we don't want to lose any data if we can avoid it, but there is an acceptable amount that we can usually tolerate within a system, depending upon buffering and whatnot. As those packets in an IPTV system move through the delivery pipeline, as the first line here shows, we would like to see those packets very evenly spaced in a perfect system. We would like to see the arrival times be very consistent. Obviously, that doesn't typically happen in most systems. That could be impacted by all of the little things, such as you've got in IP in general, you've got peak usage loads, where all of your people want to access, customers want to see the same thing at the same time. They all get online during peak hours. They all happen to be checking email at the same time of days. All of these different things that just we as people go through impact the distribution system that we use in TV. And so traditionally what happens is there will be some gaps where the inter-arrival time or the delay factor between packets will be increased simply because a router or a switch perhaps is tied up on another request. These are unavoidable in the system, and we try to build around those by adding buffering and adding extra handling into those packets. However, our systems have to be fairly tolerant of that, and these become part of the system that we need to take into account when we're designing and implementing these systems. An IPTV system is not as simple as a set-it-and-forget-it type of model, where once the system is in place, IPTV tends to grow and change over time. We start these systems out with, you know, a few users, a few dozen users, a few hundred users, and as they start scaling up, we find that what may have worked at one point in the network no longer holds true on another part. It's very common to have, as time changes, you find that the priority, the settings in those routers and those switches doesn't keep up with some of the demands that we have on them. And new technologies such as video on demand and the interactivity that broadcasters and advertisers both are looking for as we move forward are going to challenge some of the ways that we deliver video. So these are things that we, again, want to be able to measure and be proactive on to not only keep our systems in play and keep the experience very high for our viewers, but also to be able to expand those systems and grow them and add new services and new features. Now, typically out in a network, we talk about jitter, and jitter is just simply the amount of handholding that that switch or that router is adding to that packet. From the point that it enters your network to the point where it moves through the system, we would like to see that be as optimal as possible. Again, like I say, I get asked an awful lot about what is my number. You know, if I get if somebody comes and says 30 milliseconds, is that good or bad? It's very hard to actually put a tag on a number by itself because, again, this MDI value is read at any particular point in the network. So you'll often find that that MDI value itself, even if read simultaneously at 10 different places in the network, will be 10 different values. And to understand exactly whether those values are within tolerance or not, we need to be able to look a little bit bigger in the picture. Also out in that network, as we get through those packet drops, I mean, little things along the way. That could be things that we need to reconfigure with our switch. It could be some of the bottlenecks in the network itself in terms of bandwidth that we have available. It could also be due to some things such as the peak usage. All of these things can affect the end experience that viewer has. In the broadcast world, we're very familiar with having satellite signals that we have to work with. We're used to having incoming signals, and IPTV is a little different beast that we don't simply take a signal in and pass it along and assume that everything is going to be okay. There's a little bit more involved with getting that delivered to the end user. In general, we would typically need to be able to monitor at all of the key handover points throughout the network. This allows us to get a real-time view of what's going on, and it also allows us to see in greater detail where we need to deploy resources at, whether we're in the middle of troubleshooting a problem, whether it's we're trying to expand our customer base in a particular area. These are all parts of an IPTV system. A typical system may cross many, many router hops, and those all have the potential to, you know, be small problems for us. They may be large problems for us, depending upon the configurations of those switches. And again, as IPTV systems grow and mature, we find there's times you need to go out, you need to update those switches and routers with new firmware. There's times that what once worked, maybe we need to increase bandwidth in a particular region. As we start talking about this MDI, this delay factor, the media loss rate, the value by itself, like I said, is very hard to quantify. When you're looking at one particular point in a network, that doesn't tell me much about the network. That tells me what's happening right there at that particular network segment, but it doesn't really tell me about what the viewer is going to see. And if I go all the way out to the viewer end and I take some measurements and I look at my MDI values right there at the viewer, again, that shows me how things are happening right there, but it doesn't answer the question of why am I having problems, where are the problems at, and how do I go about fixing them. We solve that by looking at things in the basis of time, because when we add time to the mix, we are able to do comparative analysis, and that becomes very key as we get into IPTV. Again, this is a way for us to compare multiple points all at the same time, and that gives us a much bigger picture. We can suddenly see a much more granular view of not only how the data is moving from the source to the destination, but also we can get an additional viewpoint in what we need to do to resolve those issues. We can see very clearly if we are having problems more at the viewer end and more at the head end. To take this a step further, the next question that comes in troubleshooting an IPTV system is, am I having a video problem or am I having an IP problem? And there's two camps. There's traditionally the IT type guys that they like to use the tools like the ping, and they like to use the trace routes, and they like to get on in an interface level and be able to validate that, yes, I can move data from this point out to that viewer, which is very true. And a traditional broadcaster is looking at it from a video quality standpoint in the transport stream. IPTV really needs those to merge those two technologies as much as possible. And again, when we're using tools such as the MDI, we can get in a little deeper here and start to see where we need to divide and conquer those problems. This isn't specifically going to tell us exactly what the issue is, but it very clearly allows us to see, are we having a problem that I need to deploy IP type of resources to? Do I need to get my IT guys out here to work on switches? Do I have some problems in the distribution network? Or again, if the viewer is complaining because he's seeing some red pixels on his screen, am I having an MPEG encoding problem that I can resolve either myself or further upstream from my actual system itself? So we use the MDI tools primarily as a way to see our system performance across multiple points. And the number of points varies from one system to another. It can be as few as 2 points, it can be as many as several hundred or several thousand. Now, a couple of screens here I'll go through. I won't spend a lot of detail. If you have some questions about MDI in general, or if you have some thoughts there, I'll be happy to talk to you when we're all finished here. These are some simple shots that I've taken out in the field over the last few months, some things that we've seen and kind of some trending that we can derive from this. The very first one here, this identified trend patterns. If I look at any particular point in the network, I'm going to see just that one point of performance. When I compare them across, say, 10 points, I can very quickly, by looking from one to the next, I can see, am I having a local problem? Is it a problem with a particular service, a particular feed? Am I having a problem with a little bit bigger? Is it a particular provider, perhaps? Is it a particular satellite receiver that maybe is misbehaving? Or I can look a little deeper and say, maybe I'm having a problem in a region of town. So obviously, as we look at multiple sources here throughout the network, it makes it very, very easy for us to plot these problems. And in this particular example, notice the bands of less packet loss after midnight. We can very easily see here that we're having problems in the time domain of the viewership. When we start seeing the packet loss goes down after midnight, the first thing that starts to imply is perhaps we're having some kind of bandwidth or bottleneck problems here. It might be as simple as allocating a few more resources to an area, and we may be able to solve all the problems here. The second one talks about identifying repeating faults. These might be things like you're having a problem with a satellite receiver. It could be that you've got faulty equipment out in the field somewhere. Something's overheating perhaps. But they tend to show up more as a regular trend, and that's what we see in that second image there, is that we've got equipment of one kind or another, or at least we have a problem that is very repeatable. It is, in the fact, something that we're not going to have it go away simply by adding more resources to the network. This is going to require a little more thought to dig in and find out here, probably at the transport stream level on this one. It looks mostly like it is, in fact, related more so to the transport stream and less to the actual delivery system, just because of the repeatability in some of the graphs that we're looking at. And we can also start to look at a particular piece of equipment as we go into a system. This MDI window that I'm looking at, I've blown it up a little bit bigger. We might have it at a point in a network next to a receiver, maybe with a CAM module in it. And this top screenshot up here is showing the fact that we have a unit that it appears to be failing, whether it's an overheating problem, some kind of an intermittent. You can see where as this orange line starts to show up in there, we're starting to see a couple of problems a little further in time. Then we see a few more, and then eventually we start to see the entire line go orange, which is indicating that we've had a failure now at this point. Now, this would propagate downstream from this point in the network on. It would traditionally start where we would have a phone call from a viewer saying that the picture went out, and we're trying to figure out exactly where in the system it is. As we have different eyes, so to speak, throughout the IPTV system, troubleshooting becomes fairly simple and fairly routine for us to pinpoint exactly where that problem lays. And as we get into a little bit deeper analysis on some of these systems, this last one, this duration of fault, we're looking mostly for problems related to time in terms of trying to figure out, again, are we talking on the IP side or are we talking on the video side? This one is trying to show us that we are having a peak problem, but it appears to be a fairly one-time event. This big, bright red line in the middle of that window shows us that we actually lost signal altogether at that time. Could have been as simple as a maintenance issue, taking a piece of equipment off of line, but it appears to be a more isolated event in this case. Again, a little bit easier in the troubleshooting side when you're asked by someone as far as what caused the problem. I mean, it gives us more tools to go after the culprit. Now, in an IPTV system, There are a lot of tools out there, and I'm not going to try and spend a lot of time going over the different ways that you would actually go through a system, other than to say that typically this finding a multiple view, looking deeply into the packets, trying to understand how this data is moving through these systems is related to the number of points in the system that you can monitor. The points can be anything from some kind of a portable type of probe or a permanent install type of device. And these types of products go out into a network so that, again, you can pull that data back in real time and be very proactive in this type of system. IPTV systems, they tend to grow and change, and that becomes very, very critical to the success of the system. As the user base grows, we typically see a customer will put additional points in that network and move that forward where they can then pull all of that data back, keep that for reporting purposes, and then they use that data along with their engineering skills in terms of the video, the transport stream, to be able to have a complete solution for their customers. And I guess the one part in this particular slide happens to be that IPTV systems get measured everywhere from the point where that signal is introduced all the way at the broadcast end, the head end, from the point of reception, whether it is from another content provider, whether it's an off-air, all the way through that entire system, all the way up into the viewer at the television end. It can be a very complex system, but it can also be a very seamless system that integrates kind of silently there, that just runs alongside, and as problems come up, it allows those broadcasters to look in there and find out where the next step is. I'm trying to think here if there's anything else on this one. Ken, is there anything you want to add? Okay. This is it's a pretty fairly short presentation that we've got. What we've done is we brought along some information. If you're looking to get into IP, if you're already in IP, if you're trying to understand a little bit more about how this MDI, how the measurement process works, that's really what Sencor does. We've been involved in video for a long time, and as these transitions have taken place, we've been some of the first to get in there and try and understand the test and measurement side of things. That's really what we do, and we do a lot of it out there. And if you'd like some information about products, that's fine. If you'd like to just talk in general about a little bit more about some of the things we see out on the network, or if you'd like to understand more about what a typical system goes through in terms of the growth from the point where you start in the lab with a couple of small probes and you're moving some things, you know, across 5 feet of cable, and you're seeing good system performance to the point of moving that out into a deployment where you've got a customer base and you're growing that up, we'd be happy to talk to you about that. We do an awful lot of design work with customers out there trying to understand the architecture and trying to really get in there and understand not only today's technology, but also what's coming down. Just like everything else, the technology around us has been growing and evolving very, very quickly. And these systems are moving at a very rapid rate. Products are changing very, very quickly. The television end of things with the set-top box is changing very, very rapidly, and new services are being added all of the time. So these are great ways to get into delivering new and exciting experiences to our viewers, and new technologies are going to allow us to take the experience quite a lot further. But at the same time, there's some challenges that come along with that. So again, if you have any questions on that, Ken and myself will be here for a while. We'll be happy to talk to you about what the future holds for all of us. And I guess if anyone has questions in general, I'd love to talk to you about any of the thoughts on either IPTV right now, or if you have any questions about what these measurements mean. It's kind of a lot to digest kind of quickly, I understand, but there's an awful lot of things that have to come into play with IPTV to have a successful deployment. So, any questions? I guess that doesn't look as.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.